Hey, y'all, this is Charlie Daniels, and you're listening to the Mark After Dark Show.
Let the ugliness reign. I'm gonna tell it to the north, gonna tell it to the south, gonna tell it to the east, and gonna tell it to the west. Now there's only one. Mad Mark After Dark, the man that hates everything except the real thing. Coming to you once again, right here and right now. So you better listen, because I always tell it like it is, always have, and always will. And tonight is certainly no different than any other night. So as we begin our tribute to Southern rock, let's start with where it all began. Now, in the late 1960s and early 1970s, a new musical movement was born, which combined attributes of blues, country, and jazz, and mixed it with some of the greatest elements of rock and roll. Of course, these bands hailed from the southern states, so why not label this style of music Southern rock? Now, in my opinion, honestly, it just sounded like a great marketing campaign to sell more records. Now, I personally bought into the whole Southern rock thing, hook, line, and sinker, and became an instant fan. But if you really want to know the truth, and don't tell anybody this, there's really no such thing as Southern rock. I mean, honestly, you're asking me, What do you mean? I mean, rock and roll, stylistically, was born in the southern states with Jerry Lee Lewis from Louisiana, Buddy Holly from Texas, and Elvis Presley, who was born in Tupelo, Mississippi, and relocated to Memphis, Tennessee, as well as many other blues and country artists, you know, wouldn't exist without their contribution. Now, this movement always reminded me of what the American music industry did with the whole heavy metal music scene in the mid to late 1980s. Oh, God, all those subgenres. Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that whole thing was a marketing campaign as well. I don't think most of you out there listening to the show tonight think about it like that, but I certainly do. When I was living through the 1980s and witnessing all the subgenres growing and maturing, but one day I woke up out of a sound sleep and all of a sudden we had thrash metal. Then, a few months later, came black metal, and then came the noisiness of death metal, and of course, the glamour kings of glam metal in Los Angeles, California. So on, and so forth, it just continued on. What a freaking nightmare. It just became a great way to sell records, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that's exactly what it was. And a lot of metalheads have argued with me on that. Oh, no! We thought of all the subgenres. I'll tell you all something. Metalheads don't exactly have the brains to think of subgenres. You need a man in a suit and tie sitting in front of a desk to come up with a marketing campaign like that. But getting back to the music, I always thought of the Southern rock sound to be way more sophisticated than the mid to late 1980s heavy metal noise. Each one of these bands added their own unique spin on the style. One of the most talented musicians to come out of that scene, in my humble opinion, was the great Charlie Daniels. I've often considered him to be one of the forerunners of the whole movement. Well, let's go back in time to the late 1930s. Charlie Daniels was born on October 28, 1936, in Wilmington, North Carolina, and was raised on a musical diet that included Pentecostal gospel, rhythm and blues, and of course, mustn't forget country music. In 1964, Charlie Daniels co-wrote It Hurts Me, which was recorded by Elvis Presley with his friend, producer Bob Johnson. He often worked as a Nashville session musician, playing guitar and electric bass, and was known for playing on three of Bob Dylan's most classic albums during 1969 and 1970. And he also did recordings by Leonard Cohen, believe it or not. Now, Charlie Daniels recorded his first solo album in 1970. Several years later, on October 4th, 1974, Charlie Daniels started the legendary Volunteer Jam at the War Memorial Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. And over the years, guests have included a wide range of music, and a lot of it will be featured on tonight's program. But leading into the first section of music, and going back to Charlie Daniels' self-titled debut album, 39 Miles from Mobile is an excellent lead-in. So take a listen as we pay tribute to this great style of music. There you go.
I got to hitchhike back to Memphis. the Allman Brothers Band, Marshall Tucker, and Lynyrd Skynyrd. Would you compare this movement in terms of its musical significance and overall mass appeal to that of the early 60s British invasion of the Beatles, Stones, and The Who?
Well, I never really thought about it in that way, but see, I never saw the Southern rock thing as a genre. All the bands were different. I mean, Allman Brothers Band were a blues band. Marshall Tucker had country leaning. Lynyrd Skynyrd was this pure rock and roll band, and still is, as you can find. And we were lost off out in the middle there. So, I never really saw it as a genre of music. I always just kind of saw it as a bunch of guys that basically came up beating grits for breakfast, coming up in the same, type of a financial and social environment that from a geographical part of the country that were playing music and having hit albums at the time. There was definitely a similarity. There was a common thread that ran through all the music. You're not going to come from the Southeast and not play some blues, especially back during that time. So that was in all the music. It was a little bit of country and all of it, but for the most part, the bands were all, it was more of a personal thing, more of a like, you walk in a room with people and you feel like you've known them all your life type thing.
Little angel, I love the way she spread the wind. treat me the way you wanna do now. It's my own fault, baby. Treat me the way you wanna do now.
Brother was a hell of a guy. He was very intelligent. He did three things. He had his arm around a guitar, his arm around a beautiful lady, or his head in a book. The only time we were apart is when he worked down in Muscle Shoals. He played with Aretha and Wilson Pickett and Clarence Carter and was just kicking mucho butt on the guitar. And that's when the idea hit him, man. We got to put a band together. That's all there is to it. He called me on the phone. And he said, man, I got these four guys. I got two drummers, and I'm going, oh, train wreck. Two full sets of drums? He says, yeah, but you got to hear it. You got to hear it. I says, God, I can almost hear it from here, you know. And he said, I got this guy named Betts. He's a killer lead guitar player. I said, well, what the hell do you do? You know, I mean, last I looked, you were pretty damn good yourself. And he said, oh, you'll see. I'll show you all that when you get here. I got there with 22 songs. God, I'll never forget that day. That was a long day. We all got in this room, and they said, okay, show us what you got, you know? And I started playing when they were going, what's next? You know, what else you got? I'm starting to sweat peach seeds, you know. I hit them with dreams. Man, they all picked up their axes. We learned it right then and there. It still sounds the same today. And that was it.
Just one more morning, I had to wake up with the blues, yeah. Pull myself out of bed, put on my walking shoes, and I went up on the mountain to see what I could see.
Thank you. got these blues. Yes, I must say I got them over you. Oh, yes, I did. I got these blues. And I got them over you. And if you make me feel a baby, I'll lose the rest of my mind over you. Oh, yes, I will. Lord have mercy. Now, someone say you don't know how to love me, baby. But Lord have mercy, I believe that you do. Now someone say you don't know how to love me, baby. Oh, I believe that you do. Yeah, no, I believe that. But the bad thing about it, baby, yes, is a feeling I don't get that low loving from you. Yeah, lady, baby. Play the movie. We'll be right back.
chance and I got them over you. Nah, nah, nah. Yes, I got these blues. And Lord, I got them over you. I'm feeling I'm in it, Mona, baby. I just don't know what I'm gonna do.
Top of some breaking news right now as we've learned longtime ZZ Top bassist Dusty Hill has died. Hill was a founding member of the band, performing with them for more than 50 years. According to his bandmates, Hill died in his sleep at his home in Houston. He was actually set to join the band for their 2021 tour 2 weeks ago, but had to pull out because of a hip injury. Hill was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004 along with the rest of the band, performing in hits like Give Me All Your Lovin' and Sharp Dressed Man. In addition to the bass guitar, Hill also played the keyboards and sang backup vocals. Hill was 72 years old.
Now, talking about another major influence, the Allman Brothers Band, who I personally feel had an immense impact on Southern rock, is reminiscent of what people say about Black Sabbath as the primary innovator of heavy metal music. And to some degree, they're all right, but there was always Cream and the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Deep Purple, and of course, we mustn't forget the one and only Led Zeppelin. They all played a role. All I'm saying is that it takes more than one band to create a musical genre. So let's go back in history and talk more about Greg and Duane Allman for just a moment. Now, the two brothers began meeting various musicians in the Daytona Beach, Florida area. They met a man named Floyd Miles, and they began to jam with his band, the House Rockers. In the mid-1960s, they later formed their first real band, the Escorts, which performed a mix of Top 40 and R&B music at clubs around town. Now, the Escorts evolved into the Allman Joys, the brothers' first successful band. With a change in direction, they moved out west to Los Angeles, California in 1967, renaming themselves the Hourglass. Two additional musicians that played an extremely important role was Paul Hornsby on piano and Johnny Sandlin on drums and guitar completed this lineup, and whom would later play a significant role as future studio musicians and producers at the world-renowned Fame Studio in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Well, back to the Hourglass. The band cut two albums for Liberty Records, Hourglass in 1967 and Power of Love in 1968. Been Gone Too Long was recorded in 1967 and was originally released on a compilation album entitled Duane Allman in Anthology Volume 2 back in 1974. Whenever I hear that song, I can hear the emotion of Greg Allman's voice on that. Always been one of my favorites to play. Always been one of my favorites to listen to. On a November 2nd, 1972, Duane Allman, an anthology was released. The B.B. King medley featured Duane on lead vocals. And of course, you can hear his fabulous lead guitar playing on it. Now, Phil Walden served as Otis Redding's manager from 1959 up until his tragic death in 1967 in a horrific plane crash. Now, this led to his early affiliation with Atlantic Records co-founder, producer, Jerry Wexler, who specialized in the genre. Working with Wexler, Walden and Frank Fenter, who had run Atlantic Records European offices in London, established Capricorn Records as an independent production outlet distributed by Atlantic Atco Records, and it was named for Jerry Wexler and Phil Walden's astrological sign in Macon, Georgia in 1969. Now, Walden first met guitarist Duane Allman at Fame Studio in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, bringing on the formation of the Allman Brothers Band. Now, if you look back at Duane Allman's career after the Hourglass, he went down to Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and recorded with some of the most incredible musicians like Aretha Franklin and Wilson Pickett, and that's just to name a few. Also during his days in the Allman Brothers Band, he recorded with Eric Clapton on the legendary Derek and the Dominoes, Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs album, recorded back in 1970. And you can hear his great guitar work on Layla. Oh my God, you hear that slide playing. You know it's Duane Allman. Now, the Allman Brothers' debut album was released on November 4th, 1969, and Dreams off of it was a definite highlight, at least for me. Now, the sad history of the Allman Brothers band is Duane Allman was killed in a motorcycle accident on October 29th, 1971. And following that motorcycle death, 1 year and 13 days later, bassist Barry Oakley passed away on November 11th, 1972. Now, drummer Butch Trux died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound on January 24th, 2017 in West Palm Beach, Florida, at the very young age of 69. And we mustn't forget, Greg Allman died from complications arising from liver cancer on May 27th, 2017, also at the young age of 69 years old. Every year on the anniversary of his death, we do our Greg Allman tribute. But let's move on to the psychedelic blues rock band, The Moving Sidewalk, who were a four-piece band from Houston, Texas. And they released several singles and an album entitled Flash, which was released in 1969, before bassist Don Summers and keyboardist Tom Moore were drafted into the Army, bringing the band to an end. Now, the song Joe Blues showcased guitarist Billy Gibbons' style. And I don't know if any of you know this, but Jimi Hendrix absolutely loved Billy Gibbons and thought of him as one of his favorite guitar players. But this was not the end of Billy Gibbons' career. By no means. It was just the beginning. ZZ Top was formed in 1969 and featured drummer Frank Beard and bassist and co-lead vocalist Dusty Hill. And for the next 51 years, between 1971 up until 2012, the band would release 12 studio albums. On January 16th, 1971, their debut album entitled ZZ Top's first album was released. And Neighbor Neighbor, in my opinion, is a blues classic. Anyway, shockingly, on July 28, 2021, bassist Dusty Hill passed away at the age of 72 years old. Oh, man, I cried about it. Heard it on Channel 7 News. It was devastating. And his legacy lives on through those many recordings. But anyway, moving on into the next section of music. The Marshall Tucker Band were formed in Spartanburg, South Carolina, noted for incorporating blues, country, and jazz into an eclectic sound. They helped establish the Southern rock genre in the early 1970s. Now, the original lineup of the band, formed in 1972, included lead guitar, vocalist, and primary songwriter Toy Caldwell, along with his brother, bassist Tommy Caldwell, vocalist Doug Gray, keyboard player, saxophonist, and flutist Jerry Eubank, rhythm guitarist George McCorkle, and drummer Paul Riddle. The band signed with Capricorn Records and released their first album in 1973. Now, the sad thing about the Marshall Tucker Band is that bassist Tommy Caldwell, composer of several of their songs, as well as contributing backup vocals, died at the age of 30 from injuries suffered in a car accident on April 28, 1980. Another terrible loss to that band is when Toy Caldwell was found dead in his bed by his wife on February 25, 1993, at his home in Moore, South Carolina. The cause of his death was reported as cardiorespiratory failure, and it devastated me when I heard about this. Those two brothers, man, they used to have this weird picking style where they would pick with their thumbs, and it became a signature for the Marshall Tucker Band. And finally, rhythm guitarist George McCorkle was diagnosed with cancer in early June 2007 and died soon after on June 29th, 2007. Now, in the wake of these deaths, the Marshall Tucker Band seemed to continue on and have released well over 22 albums between 1973 and 2007. And I'll tell you the truth, there really is no Marshall Tucker Band without Toy Caldwell and Tommy Caldwell. So let's pay tribute to the original and one and only Marshall Tucker Band off their debut. Ramblin' has always been one of my favorites, so stay tuned and listen to it. There you go.
just tell her these simple words. I got rambling on my mind. 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 Oh, I got rambling, rambling on my mind.
Arkansas's rousing new album on Atco Records and Tape.
Yeah. Would you give a big Scottish welcome, please, to Grinder Switch?